Chapter 14, Developing Skills for High-Impact Conversations. The more we engage in open-ended, evidence-based, framework-linked conversations with teachers, the better we'll get at facilitating these conversations and ensuring that they're productive. This requires considerable skill in asking authentic questions, active listening and paraphrasing, probing for deeper reflection, and following up to support teachers as they take action. The best way to develop these skills, though, is simply to get started. Many instructional leaders hesitate to start because they haven't experienced the rewards of visiting classrooms and talking with teachers, even if they've gone through the motions. If we're going to make a sustained habit of visiting classrooms and having professional conversations, we must structure the process to ensure that it's professionally rewarding. Otherwise, we'll find reasons not to stick with it. In this chapter, we'll discuss how to have professionally rewarding conversations, how to provide feedback in response to teacher requests, how to respond when teachers become defensive, how to have impactful conversations, and how to accept non-closure. Have professionally rewarding conversations. Conversations are professionally rewarding when they both provide information we need and lead to better decisions. This is equally true for instructional leaders and teachers. If we examine the conversations that we don't find professionally rewarding, it's easy to see that they are often missing one of these factors for one or both parties. Consider a conversation in which it's your goal to make a suggestion for improvement. Does this provide the teacher with information? Yes, if it's linked to evidence from the classroom. But does it lead to better teaching decisions? Often, no. The suggestion serves more as a critique of the teacher's past decisions than a means of improving the teacher's ability to independently make better decisions on related matters in the future. If that's the case, the teacher doesn't stand to benefit from the suggestion, and the conversation will feel like a distraction at best, and an intrusion, or even a mild form of harassment at worst, far from the professionally rewarding ideal that we may envision. Danielson, 2015. A professionally rewarding conversation must lead to better decisions, and it must provide decisional information to the teacher or the instructional leader, ideally both. The best information comes from conversations in which the teacher does the majority of the talking. If we want our conversations with teachers to result in improvement, we must allow teachers to remain in the driver's seat. They should evaluate their lesson's success against their own goals, referencing your shared instructional framework. We learn about how teachers think from listening, and teachers grow more when they're the ones doing the majority of the thinking and talking. Danielson, 2015. As a leader, you'll make better decisions for your school, both operational and improvement decisions, when you know, in depth, how each teacher thinks and makes instructional decisions. Listen when teachers ask for feedback. Some of the best instructional leadership interactions take place when teachers ask for feedback on specific aspects of their teaching. A first grade teacher once invited me to observe while she was trying a new vocabulary strategy, and it was one of the most professionally rewarding conversations I've ever had. As a result of the invitation, observation, and ensuing conversation, I was able to make a better decision about additional professional development for the teacher for which she was requesting funding. When teachers ask for feedback, it's important for instructional leaders to understand that they aren't simply inviting open-ended criticism. They're asking for information on specific aspects of their practice that they are trying to improve. Providing feedback upon request is a responsibility we must take seriously and handle carefully. The feedback we provide must be based on the teacher's goals and must take into consideration the context surrounding what we see. We must accept that these goals may not relate directly to school-level improvement goals. If a teacher has invited you to provide feedback on a specific aspect of his or her practice, should you limit your feedback to that topic? Unless you identify a serious problem, yes. Avoid the tendency to insert your own priorities or raise every issue that comes to mind, and limit your feedback to the topic the teacher has identified. If you have serious enough concerns that you'd issue a directive, in other words, if your goal is not to help the teacher engage in reflective practice, but instead to compel an immediate change in behavior, then provide clear directions and save the requested feedback for another visit. Teachers cannot receive both directives and reflective feedback at the same time because directives trigger defensiveness. Understand how to handle teachers who become defensive. Defensiveness is a sign that we've triggered teachers' natural instincts for self-preservation. Being observed by another adult, especially one who influences the teacher's final evaluation, is a potentially threatening process, and this should not surprise or frustrate us. I sometimes hear instructional leaders complain that their teachers are being defensive or don't want feedback, but they're placing the blame on the wrong party. It's not the teacher's job to avoid being defensive, it's the instructional leader's job to create a climate safe for reflective practice. Traditional feedback does the opposite, and that's why we must avoid it whenever possible. We have a choice. We can either keep teachers focused on reflection and growth in our conversations, or we can become directive and focus on changing behavior rather than thinking. We can obtain compliance, or we can raise the level of teachers' thinking, but we can't do both. If we don't like the response we're getting, it's our responsibility as instructional leaders to change what the teacher is experiencing from us. Have impactful conversations. An impactful conversation about teaching and learning doesn't have to be complicated. In fact, good conversations are often simpler than feedback sandwich conversations because they're more natural. Here's a set of suggested steps for impactful, authentic conversations rooted in evidence of classroom practice and linked to a shared instructional framework. First, ask for permission. Do you have a minute to talk, or would later be a better time? This is a classic approach telephone salespeople use because if the person doesn't actively give his or her consent to talking, he or she may not be fully tuned in to the conversation, and it won't have the intended impact. If it's not a good time, set up a time to talk later, perhaps during the teacher's preparation time or the following day. Second, allow the teacher to choose a focus. An open-ended question like, "So, how did you think it went?" may not be specific enough, and it may prove difficult to wrest the conversation back to a productive topic. However, it can be very helpful to ask a specific question to discern the teacher's goals for the lesson and whether they were achieved. You might ask, "How did what students were able to get done compare with what you had in mind?" Or you might ask, "What outcome did you have in mind for that part of the lesson?" After you've established the teacher's purpose, you'll have a clearer sense of where you should refer to specific evidence from your observations. At this point, you can say something like, "So, you wanted to make sure that students understood how to solve the problems on last night's homework. I saw that you went around checking students' papers. What did you see as you checked their homework?" You can then continue the discussion using the sample questions for better feedback from Chapter 12, page 105. In your third cycle of visits, as you refer to specific events that you have documented in your notes, make reference to your instructional framework so the teacher can evaluate his or her own practice against the criteria in the framework. Don't panic if the teacher seems to have an inflated view of his or her own practice. The focus should remain on evidence. As you gather more evidence and engage in more conversation using the language of your framework, disagreements tend to disappear. If the teacher presses his or her case for a high self-rating that you remain skeptical of, you can indicate that you didn't see everything you'd need to in order to fully agree, but that you'll be back in a few days and can look for further evidence. This conversational flow may not work well if you have serious concerns. If you plan to provide directive feedback, see Chapter 15, page 131, for guidance on handling tougher conversations. Accept a lack of closure. After talking with the teacher for a few moments, you may find that an interruption forces the conversation to end without a clear conclusion. Or you may find that there's not a clear takeaway. If the teacher is able to respond to your questions and you don't have any suggestions, it may feel anticlimactic to end with a simple, "Well, it's been great to stop by. See you later." But if our conversations are to be authentic, we must allow them to end in just such an unceremonious fashion. Normal conversations don't always end with clear action items. They may, but they don't have to. When you visit your doctor for a checkup, the main takeaway is often to come back in 6 months for a follow-up appointment. When you visit a teacher and there isn't an obvious next step, it's fine to depart with a simple statement like, "Thanks for taking the time to talk with me. See you again in a few days." You should always strive for clarity. Don't leave the teacher guessing what you're thinking. But you may find that your conversations continue over email, after staff meetings, or in the copy room. This is the way human conversations naturally evolve, and we should accept this lack of closure in our professional conversations with teachers. Day 14 Action Challenge. Engage without defensiveness. As you continue your daily visits to classrooms today, inquire more deeply into teachers' goals and thoughts on their lessons. As you encounter teachers who are typically defensive about their practice and resistant to suggestions for improvement, use the process I have described in this chapter to engage them in deep conversation about their practice without triggering their usual reactions. Write down the questions you find to be most effective for these teachers and make a note of which conversations seem to have the greatest impact. Remember not to start taking written notes until your third cycle of visits, after you've had a chance to build rapport with each teacher and clarify your intentions to the whole staff. You may want to consider the following questions for reflection. When have I experienced a lack of closure in conversations with teachers so far? What questions or phrases have worked well for presenting evidence to teachers without making them defensive? What do I hope teachers find most rewarding about our conversations?